Well, stop me if you've heard this before. It's a Monday, and it's going to be a pretty busy week. We've got the NHL, we've got the NBA, we've got baseball in full swing. So yes, a lot going on. That's the start of your morning buzzcast. It is Monday. It is July 27th. I'm Abe Madcore. Good morning. Hope everyone had a nice weekend, a healthy weekend, and had some downtime as well. Let's start with the NHL because the teams arrived yesterday in Toronto and Edmonton, the two hub cities for the return to play action. On Friday, the league announced what they will do with fan enhancements. They will use LED screens. They will use teams' goal songs, they will use teams' playlists, and they'll use other technology, including crowd noise, will be piped in from EA Sports' NHL recording. So the NHL's plan to return coming into shape. Let's shift at Major League Baseball. One very important story we need to keep an eye on. The league could not get out of its first weekend of regular season games without facing a very significant COVID-19 challenge, as four Miami Marlins players have tested positive for coronavirus. That led the team to delay its post-game trip home from Philadelphia back to Miami. They didn't leave yesterday. They were going to leave today, and they plan to arrive in Miami just hours before their home opener. It is likely the trip back home to Miami will be made without multiple players who will stay in Philadelphia. So this is not a good early story for baseball, unfortunately. Some Marlins players said they talked about the health issues and the positive cases before Sunday's game, but there was no talk of declining to play. Of course, some in the media are questioning the team and baseball's decision to go forward with yesterday's game featuring the Marlins. Now, we have to see how many players are positive, and we have to see how the team reacts in terms of getting back home to Miami and trying to get on schedule. Meanwhile, the WNBA tipped off over the weekend. If you watched some of the action, you saw symbols and logos declaring Black Lives Matter and Say Her Name prominently on the court, and players wore jerseys that featured the name of Breonna Taylor, of course, who was shot and killed by police officers in March. The players said that they will dedicate its 22-week season to Taylor, and the games will continue to be marked by social justice initiatives. Of course, the tournament's being held at IMG Academy in Bradenton. It was good to see the players return to action on the court over the weekend. Meanwhile, the NWSL yesterday ended its month-long Challenge Cup at Rio Tinto Stadium in Utah. The NWSL hat tip to them. There was not a single positive test for coronavirus among the eight teams and all others involved throughout the entire event. I mean, that is following very strict and disciplined protocols. Good for them. The players certainly acted with very disciplined procedure. Meanwhile, NWSL Commissioner Lisa Baird said the teams will almost surely be able to train again soon. She did leave the door open for further competition this year in some sort of fashion. But again, a hat tip and a well done to everybody at the NWSL for returning for the month-long Challenge Cup and having a very successful tournament. The strange story of the day that you want to keep an eye on, it's certainly out in Arizona, where the Coyotes have had an ugly falling out with their president of hockey operations and former general manager, John Sheka. Last night, Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman was reporting that new Coyotes owner Alex Morello will ask Commissioner Gary Bettman to adjudicate the split between the organization and Sheka. It was revealed earlier that Sheka terminated his contract with the team despite having 3 years remaining. Why he is leaving, it's unclear. There's a bunch of different stories. One story had that he was denied permission by Morello to speak to another organization. Another cited someone within the organization who said that Sheka just quit. If you look at the team statement, they do use that word quit, which is rarely ever used when a team and executive part ways. So this is a very ugly split. You're going to want to keep an eye on the fallout from this. Let's shift to the NBA. The league starts its action on Thursday. They're still going through scrimmages. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver will be down there at the end of this week as the games start. Now, we have talked about teams that didn't make this tournament, right? Teams that aren't in Orlando. They want to play. They want to remain active. They feel they are out of sight, out of mind for way too long. I've talked to a number of team presidents in markets that aren't going to Orlando, and they're very frustrated. They want to be more prominent. So the Charlotte Observer reported over the weekend that the league has progressed on a plan for the eight teams not in the season restart to practice and possibly hold group workouts next month. What they're talking about are possibly 2 weeks of group workouts hosted by two teams who are not in the restart, but the cities have not been finalized. There's still work to do with the Players Association, but keep your eye to see if they're able to have some sort of organized basketball for the teams that weren't in the restart, because they really do want to be playing. And one story you have to read over the weekend, if you know of the New York Times, is Michael Schmidt. He's one of the best reporters out there. He is on all their big stories. A few years ago, he went inside MLB search for their next commissioner that led to the election of current MLB commissioner Rob Manfred. On Sunday, Schmidt delivered another very good piece that really looked at Manfred's summer and all the efforts and all the stress that Manfred felt in trying to settle a labor dispute and bring back baseball in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. It's a very interesting piece. A couple of nuggets I took away. Baseball took on a $2.5 billion worth of debt over a matter of days in early March once the coronavirus started to shut everything down, so they got an extensive line of credit. In addition, Manfred and his predecessor, Bud Selig, who had had a little bit of distance as Manfred found his way in the commissioner's chair, began speaking very regularly in June, and that Manfred looked to his former boss for guidance. There are a lot of other good nuggets in the piece, so I recommend you read it, Michael Schmidt's piece on the summer of Rob Manfred in Sunday's New York Times. So that is your morning buzzcast. Again, the start of another busy week. It's Monday, July 27th. I'm Abe Madcore. Have a great day, a healthy day, a safe day. Be good to each other, and I will talk to you tomorrow.